Tim Lammers joins us for movie reviews. They are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured, and you can learn more at minnesotapersonalinjury.com. Tim, thanks for joining us today. What movies are we looking at today?
Well, we're looking at a movie that you and Mason could go to and see together. So there is one more activity apart from baking.
Great.
If you make some cookies, sneak the cookies into the movie. You
know, I'm in for that. Yep.
Yeah. So new in theaters is Spider-Man No Way Home, the third Spider-Man solo film starring Tom Holland. The film picks up with the last scene of Spider-Man Far From Home, where Mysterio frames Spider-Man for his murder and news mogul J. Jonah Jameson, played by J.K. Simmons, reveals to the world that Spider-Man's true identity is Peter Parker. Since the big reveal upends Peter Parker's life and the lives of everyone he knows, Peter seeks out Doctor Strange, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, to reset time. Unfortunately, that means everybody is going to forget who Peter Parker is. Trying to change the spell mid-spell, Doctor Strange ends up tearing a hole in the world's dimensions, and several villains from parallel universes emerge. That includes Doc Ock and the Green Goblin and several others. And they enter Tom Holland's Spider-Man's world, and they make the latest iteration for the character more complicated than he could ever imagine. Spider-Man No Way Home is amazing, as it takes a complicated concept, first examined in the animated movie Spider-Man Into the Multiverse, and makes it accessible to audiences and not confusing in the least. Instead, it's fast, fun, and entertaining, and most importantly, it has plenty of heart to go along with its humor. Fans of all Spider-Man tales dating back to 2002 will not be disappointed. Spider-Man No Way Home is new in theaters. Also new in theaters is Nightmare Alley, director Guillermo del Toro's lavish remake of the 1947 film noir mystery. Bradley Cooper stars as Stanton Carlisle, a drifter with a mysterious past who finds work with a carnival sideshow. It's there where Stanton learns the deceptive art of mentalism, and after 2 years of careful study, he starts exploiting the rich and powerful with the aid of a ruthless psychologist, played by Cate Blanchett. Stanton pushes the limits, though, endangering lives and the lives of everybody around him. Guillermo del Toro is a masterful filmmaker, and despite the film's overly long beginning and predictability, Nightmare Alley is a must-see movie. It's tense, intriguing, and the acting by Cooper and Blanchett, as well as the ensemble cast, is brilliant. Most impressive, though, is the film's production design, which is hands down the best all year. Nightmare Alley is new in theaters.
Okay, so I have been curious about this Nightmare Alley. I see the commercials on TV, and I'm like, I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. I'm excited to see it, but I don't. Is this going to be like? Is it a lot of horror and gore? Because you know, I don't like those.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kelly, because Guillermo del Toro has done those sorts of movies in the past. And one of the biggest problems with trying to sell this movie for Guillermo is the fact that fans of that sort of work are expecting that sort of thing with a title like Nightmare Alley. Now, granted, he just couldn't change the title.
Yeah.
You know, since it is based on the 1947 original, I think that would have been doing the film a disservice. You know, the nightmare are the real nightmares that people encounter when they take greed and power and go too far with it. Mm. You know, it's interesting, though. It does have this mystical sort of, I don't want, you know, fantasy feel in a way, because obviously we're in a carnival sideshow. We're looking at a world that really is in a bygone era now. I mean, the sorts of things that, I mean, I think maybe even you and I saw growing up in a carnival sideshow don't exist anymore. And if they do, they're very illegal, you know. So, but, you know, there is this act of mentalism, which, you know, obviously I think still does go on to an extent. You know, there are people that claim to read minds, et cetera, and, you know, predict futures, et cetera, et cetera. And as we learn in Nightmare Alley, I mean, it's a very sophisticated art. And you can go too far with that, though, when all of a sudden you start telling people that you're reading, quote unquote, reading of, you know, the people, the loved ones that have gone on, you know, that are beside them, et cetera, et cetera. And so it can result in some pretty damning real life circumstances.
Does this have any way, I mean, is it anything like, do you remember The Box from 2009? I think Cameron Diaz with a star, and it had a moral dilemma.
Exactly.
It had this strange character. I guess, I don't know if it'll be like Bradley Cooper's, but there was a strange character that was kind of like, he was sort of the MC of the events. It's like, here, you could push this button and make $1 million. Yeah, but if
Frank Langella, he had this mysterious box where the dilemma there, and one of my favorite people to talk to in this business, James Marsden, is also in it. And James and Cameron play a couple with this dilemma of, if you open this box, I believe you'll be enriched, or that something will come true. Mm-hmm. But in order for that to come true, somebody in the world, you don't know who it is going to die.
Yeah.
So, the plot of Nightmare Alley really isn't anything like that. Okay. Although there are deathly sorts of circumstances involved. I mean, you start messing around. I wouldn't go so far as to even call this the occult. But, you know, when you start playing with people's emotions the way that Bradley Cooper does here, some disastrous things, some deadly things can certainly happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way I look at it is, I mean, it's just, yes, the story has been told before in 1947. I haven't seen that film. Guillermo del Toro, though, is a brilliant filmmaker. And it's weird. You know, I screened this movie actually with my sponsor of this segment, Mike Bryant. And first thing I said to Mike after we left was, the production design in this movie, it's from the setting is the late 1930s and early 40s. And it's lavish. It's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. Mm. It just takes you completely to a different world, even though it's a world that existed, you know, way back when.
Yeah.
It's a mystery more than anything. It's intrigue. Again, it's very predictable. The setup is really, really overlong, but it's definitely worth seeing.
Okay. I do want to talk about Spider-Man because we've got a Spider-Man crazy man in our newsroom. I mean, if he could come to work in superhuman clothing, I think that he would. Now he's a dad, and he's kind of a superhero around here. We all love him. But I want to know, he wants to know specific things, and obviously we're not going to tell him how it all turns out. You said he wouldn't be disappointed, and that's, I think, the answer to his question.
Right,
I want to know.
This is an all-encompassing movie, and we know this already from the trailers. When all of a sudden you start bringing in the villains from, you know, the movies that date back to 2002, including the Green Goblin.
Yeah, is that William Dafoe? Is it going to be the same guy? Because he was great as the Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah, Willem Dafoe. And I must point out Dafoe is in Nightmare Alley. This is a big week for Willem Dafoe.
Oh, my gosh, really?
He's in that, yeah. But Alfred Molina, who plays Doc Ock, is back. Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman. Jamie Foxx is Electro. Reese Ifans is the Lizard. So they bring these in from the first two iterations. Tom Holland's is the third now. Mm. But those villains from the first two are brought in. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of speculation. And again, I'm the sort of person, no matter how obvious things might seem, that, look, I want people to experience this movie as fresh as possible.
Yeah.
And again, I think the best way of doing that is, if you're that big of a Spider-Man fan, of all the movies, certainly, you're not going to be disappointed in what they do here. It's nice that they're taking a different approach here. It could have been that Tom Holland's Peter Parker just took on another villain in the canon of the Spider-Man story.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you know, the animated Into the Multiverse was such a huge success that, you know, and this film, this multiverse thing, could obviously been in development before that even. But either way, it seems like, okay, we're taking cue with something that's a little more original and it's accessible. That's the big key. I mean, you get the scientific gobbledygook that's going on. It's like, what did they say about this quantum, this mm-hmm. and that, and all the other things? No, it's just... If you're a big kid, if you got little kids, I mean, everybody is really going to be able to readily embrace this film.
Okay. I think it sounds fun. You kind of gave me an idea there, because me and the boys weren't really doing anything super spectacular this year. I think maybe a super spectacular Christmas would be to go to the movies.
Well, it's
especially something like that.
It's going to be really big this weekend. I think, you know, it's a great indicator when you hear show houses are selling out to get back into the theater. Now, the interesting thing about this, Kelly, is you could say, well, geez, I didn't see that version of Spider-Man. I didn't do that or whatever. You have to remember, when all of a sudden these villains from another parallel dimension come into Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man's life, he's got just as many questions as everybody else. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? You know, so... in a way, then, that allows for explainers to happen.
Okay, cool.
So you could have seen those original films way back when and forgotten totally about them. It doesn't matter because it's going to bring you right back up to speed.
I love it. Okay. And I want to say something before you go here. We got a couple minutes. But last week on the show, you told me about a Minnesota movie called Sold Out that I could watch on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. I did watch that movie and I wanted more. I was like enamored with it. And I asked you if I could interview Susan and Tim and they said yes. And so they were on the show this week. And man, I just really love them. And they said that they're going to be trying to bring us some more stuff.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And I was listening that day too, Kelly. I was very, very excited. What an expert job you did interviewing those two.
Okay.
And you know, I knew from the point of view of a musician who, yeah, you know, you've been there, you've been in the same places that Sam Bardwell's character was in this particular film, you know?
And it was the way they filmed it. It was like, he said that he like basically held the camera himself. Cause you know, he said he only had three people,
right.
But I think I didn't realize it, you know, but a lot of those indie films sometimes they have this vision of art in their head. And a lot of times they're like, ooh, I want to get the shot of this thing. And all you can think about is that shot just feels funny. Why'd they do that? In this film, yeah, I felt like I was sitting at the bar in the conversation and I just couldn't believe everywhere they went. I never felt like we were out of the movie. They did a fantastic job.
Oh, it's a great film. And again, on Amazon Prime Video, Sold Out. Minnesota pride is what I say.
Yes.
I, you know what? And they really did us proud with this film. Again, Tim Dahlside, the director, and Susan Brightbill, the writer. And all Minnesota cast and crew. You got to see it.
Oh, it's amazing. Tim Lammers, directconversations.com is where you can learn more. Our movie review is brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. It's time now for news.